Hey, what are you up to?
Oh, I've been putting together preparedness kits. Actually, I'm just finishing the last one.
Oh, preparedness kits? Now that's interesting. What's this all about?
Well, you know how out there's all kinds of 72-hour kits and food storage kits out there.
Right.
Well, I thought it was a great idea, so I've put together a few prototypes to pitch to a few companies for my own idea.
Wow, you've gone all out. Look at all this stuff. So what's the hook?
The hook?
Obviously, you have something that sets your kits apart from the rest.
Oh, it's true. I designed these kits so they cater to very unique situations other than just the standard emergency.
How so?
Well, you know how there's the 72-hour kit you mentioned? I mean, they're great for situations when you need to evacuate or grab the basics and just go.
Right.
So what happens if you don't need 72 hours?
Okay. Like when?
Well, what if maybe you just needed an hour, but maybe your stress level's just as high there?
What?
And see, that's why I designed the 72-minute kit.
72 minutes?
All right, listen. Say, for example, you're in the mall and you're having to go shopping with the wife, and she sees a sale at the shoe store. She says, "You're coming in?" And you respond with your typical, "You go ahead, I'll wait for you right here." And you find yourself sitting on a bench in the middle of the mall hallway, bored out of your mind.
Okay.
But see, now you have a problem. You didn't eat lunch today because you were expecting to be home by now. But now she's in the shoe store, and by the looks of it, it's going to be at least an hour. And you're starving, and you can't leave because she's inevitably going to come walking out during the time you're gone, and then you're in deep trouble. So I give you the 72-minute kit. It's the basics for survival to take for situations like this when you least expect it. Because we all know a woman scorned for shoes is far more disastrous than an earthquake.
Wow, I'm intrigued. You really thought this out.
Oh yeah, take a peek at the kit.
All it has in it is a beer hat, a pack of beef jerky, and one of those gag toys that makes fart noises when you press the remote.
Yeah.
How does a remote fart machine become a preparedness item?
Oh, here, see? While you're in the mall, you put it in the plant across from your bench in front of the shoe store. Whenever somebody comes by, you press the button, and the entertainment is never ending.
That is so weird.
No, I'm serious. It makes the time fly, man. You'd be surprised the reactions people get when one of them thinks it's the other. You know, I tried it out to test out the prototype, and in just 1 hour, I managed to break up 2 high school relationships and get some poor 4-year-old grounded.
That's so twisted.
Never underestimate the sheer power of simulated flatulence.
It's like I'm back in 4th grade again.
Now, if you look right here, now this kit I've made here, this is going to no doubt be very popular. This is my mother-in-law visit preparedness kit. It's for those moments when the in-laws show up unexpectedly and suddenly decide to stay for a week without letting you know first.
This bag is full of landmines.
It sure is.
You're planning to kill the in-laws?
Just preparedness, that's all. Just because a 72-hour kit comes with a radio doesn't mean you actually have to listen to it. It's just for those rare moments when they might be needed.
This is so morbid.
You'll notice there's also a potpourri dish in there as well.
Why?
I laced it with crystal meth. It's a great gag for those awkward moments. One whiff of this, and 1 minute your mother-in-law is complaining about your television. The next minute she's tripping out in the front yard dancing to music sung by gnomes only she herself can see.
Wow.
Which just happens to be where you pre-placed the landmines. Huh?
That is so messed up.
One can never be too prepared.
Why is there a roll of lifesavers in here too?
Yeah, those really aren't anything more than a perk to just sweeten the deal. It's kind of like the preparedness equivalent of the Sports Illustrated football phone.
You scare me.
Sometimes I scare myself.
Indeed.
Now this is another one I did. It's a preparedness kit for the invasion of Earth by the forces of hell.
Excuse me?
Oh yeah. This is the kit you're going to want to have in your trunk when the prophecies of the biblical battle of Armageddon come to pass and the minions of hell come pouring forth onto the earth in an attempt to slave the human race into an eternity of damnation and torment.
All this bag has in it is a Bible and another fart machine.
Exactly. Now the Bible, I think that's a little bit self-explanatory of why that would be in there, I think. Now the fart machine is for that rare moment when you're sitting on the bench at what's left of the burned out mall, and you notice 2 imps of the devil near the plant across from you. Simply press the button, listen to the noise, and hilarity ensues.
You have this unhealthy, dark-humored amusement with flatulence.
What, you think that the demons of hell will react any different than a high school sophomore? There are laws of the universe that even the infinite are held to. Embarrassment just happens to be one of them. I simply hold to the idea that even hell's minions can't talk their way out of a noise like that.
I really have nothing to say to that.
Neither will they. That's the hilarity of it. Anyways, moving on. So over here we have these preparedness kits. Now these are simpler ones for special cases.
Such as?
Well, this kit here, this is for if you happen to be in the middle of the frozen food aisle and find yourself next to the kid from Twilight when 10,000 shrieking girls come pouring out of aisle 12.
What?
It could happen. Now you think about it. A tirade of screaming girls rioting in an entire aisle of super-cooled plate glass doors? That's not a great combination, if you ask me. Would you be prepared if something like that happened?
Well, what?
I didn't think so. I also have a kit for if you happen to be in an elevator with Keith Richards and the power goes out.
I don't dare look at what's in that bag.
Yeah, don't mess with that one unless you know you have to. Oh, yeah, I also had one for if you get caught at your aunt's farmhouse during a tornado and you accidentally find yourself in Oz.
What?
Oh, yeah. See, you don't have time to frack up if you woke up in Oz. You gotta get back to Kansas so you can watch CSI at 8 o'clock, right?
You gotta be kidding me.
I mean, it's a rare occurrence, but it's one that you want to make sure you have this kit handy if it happens.
What's in it?
Actually, this kit has just one item guaranteed to solve your problem quickly and with minor incident.
Let me guess. Ruby slippers?
Nope. Actually, it's just a 50 caliber machine gun.
What?
Yeah, frack the slippers, man. You ain't got time to play. When the witch shows up, you just paste her to the side of the house with the gun and bam, you tell Glenda to go send your butt home. If she tries to argue, just start popping off munchkins until she agrees to the deal. Pop off the lion, too, if he gives you any lip.
My inner child just cried a little.
Hey, I don't create the disasters. I just help you get through them.
I can't believe we're even having this conversation.
I think you just fear what you don't understand or prepare for.
And I think we just sniffed a bit too much of your crystal meth potpourri by accident.
Accidentally done that a few times in the past, actually. Anyway, so yeah, with all these kits tapping into individual niche markets, I think I could sell tons of them. I don't know, what do you think about all this?
After seeing all of this, I think there's only one preparedness kit type missing.
Oh? What's that?
The one that prepares someone to ever again listen to your ideas.
Oh, no, actually, I did create a kit for that. It's right here in the backpack, here.
Wow, it comes with a tranquilizer gun to shoot you with.
Just in time, too. This intro skit was getting completely ridiculous.
Good thing we came prepared then. Well, I'm sold.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 35th episode of Through the Aftermath. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Jonathan. How you doing, Jonathan?
Doing good, although it's way, way too hot. It's like up in the 110s consistently right now, and it's getting old.
Does it ever dip below 100 there? I mean,
you know, in the summertime, it's funny because everybody used to tell me this, but it's true that, I mean, you do get climatized to an extent, although lately my eyes have been turning blue and I consider myself one of the Fremen, but, the thing is, like, with this is you put up with, like, 3 months of insane heat, but the rest of the year is stunning.
Yeah.
It's one of those where I'm like, the spirit will overcome, you know, so now it's just making Fallout Vegas twice as hard to wait for. Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's been a little while since we recorded, a few weeks. What have you been up to?
Let's see. You know, it's been kind of busy on this side. Like, I've been busting out a few games lately that, one in particular, Fallout Tactics. And I know I mentioned this just briefly. I never really sat down to play it. I've tried to play it a couple times, and I was like, yeah, it didn't really click, you know. But for some reason, I sat down, started playing it, and it was partway through the first level, which the first level isn't the most exciting, started getting into it, and that game grabbed a hold of me so big time. Like, I was playing the game like a madman, and I haven't done that in a long time. This just storyline-wise, kind of seeing more, you know, from the Brotherhood of Steel point of view, just an incredible game. If you can get past the initial learning curve and the I think this is going to be like this kind of a game, yeah. Once you get into it, there's a lot of that you're controlling an entire party and you're doing these things that you played in the storyline for Fallout in some form. The nice thing is, too, a lot of what they talk about is directly interfaced with a lot of stuff that happens in Fallout Vegas. So, because they make mention of things that were going on, and you're like, oh, that's in the next game. You know, so it'll be interesting to see if there's any parallels they kept, because these are the guys who made Fallout Vegas.
Yeah, same guys. I enjoy games like that, the kind of turn-based. I really like that. When I got Tactics for the first time, I played it nonstop. That game was really great.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's just, and that's the nice thing about it is it's, you know, I've played the other Fallout games, and I'll be straight up honest, the old Fallout games, they're hard. They're hard to play. Fallout Tactics, it just has this kind of like, I compare it to those old games, those Commandos games, those RTSs that were psychotically hard, where you were sneaking into Nazi camps, but you had to watch where they could see you, and it would take you like 12 hours just to beat a level, because you were like, you had it down to science. It would make you bleed in the ears. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, storyline alone has been worth it. So much recommended. And then it's been good. Did you happen to catch, I was gonna ask this too, did you happen to catch last night the show we had the fan mail about it, that show The Colony, season 2?
Oh no, I didn't. No, I don't have cable. I only watch TV on Netflix.
You know what? And I'm wondering if it'll show up on Netflix, because, or at least online, because the first season of The Colony, you know, I actually watched part of it. I actually bought the little thing at Target. It was a little hokey, to be honest. but this one, it was almost like somebody went, we better make it good or we're dead. So what they did was they took a couple of miles worth of the condemned land where Hurricane Katrina came through. Oh. And put these guys in it, and they're playing it off like it's a biological disaster, and it's pretty freaky. I mean, they're not holding back on this one. Before it was like, let's make ridiculous motorcycle guys carefully grab your food from you, and now people are getting like, you know, knocked around and kidnapped, and it's freaky. It's really good. I have to say, from what I've seen, and that's just the first episode. You know, it's definitely trippy.
Cool. That sounds cool. I have to check that out if it ever comes to Netflix, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully it does. And go see Inception, because dang.
Oh, actually, we're going to see that Saturday. Everybody I talk to keeps telling me I need to see that. So
that might have been the best movie I've seen in a long time.
I can't wait.
So yeah, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been doing a few things. I think we talked about this last show where I was watching Survivors, that BBC show.
Yeah.
And we just finished that, actually, last night, finished season 2. And we were talking a little bit about the cliffhanger and how they kind of ended it strangely. And I can see that now. I know how that, you know, what you're talking about now. But I really enjoyed it. I mean, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I would say more than Jericho. It's funny because my girlfriend and I were watching it, and we didn't have it on Netflix streaming. We had it to wait for the discs, and every time we'd be like, I can't wait till the next disc comes, because it was really, really cool. And then I just started reading Dr. Blood Money, the Philip K. Dick book. We've had people refer that to us several times, actually, you know, saying, hey, you guys have to check this out. One of the alternate names of it is actually How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. It's a pretty old, I think the book was written in the mid-60s, like 65, I think.
Yeah, the Kubrick movie, I think, was...
Yeah. And so I just started reading it, actually, like 2 nights ago, so I'm not too far into it yet, but I'm pretty excited to talk about that once I finish that.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, I can't really think. I don't think there's been anything else. We have Book of Eli on our Netflix queue coming pretty soon.
Oh, yes.
I can't wait to watch that again. And I want to watch the the extras. You know, that's the big thing I'm looking forward to.
Oh, yeah.
So that should be cool. Oh, you know, one thing we did watch. Have you ever seen PBS had this series out for a while called Frontier House?
Oh, I used to love, because I watched part of Frontier House, and there was one called 1940s House.
Yeah, and there's one called 1900 House.
Yes, I loved those.
Yes. Oh, I watched Frontier House when it first came out, but I had a really bad TV back then. So it's funny because I watched it in black and white on this really crappy TV, like static. And then we watched it again this time, and I'm like, oh, this is much better. I love that show. That was such a great show. Because it was all about, like, survival, you know? It was all about, like you know, cutting enough wood for the winter and making sure that your animals were safe and, you know, and the garden they made. And it was really cool. I really liked that.
Yeah, they and you know what? That just dawned on me. Yeah, so I have seen the 1900s one because I remember that one. The lady had kids, and the 1940s one, the lady's husband has to leave to go off to the work in the factory or something. But the Frontier one I caught a little bit of, but that was the one I found most fascinating.
Yeah. Oh man, it was really good. I'd probably even watch it again, like right now. What's cool about it too is it has a lot of the kind of elements of society in there. You know, they have like the people who are rich. From LA or from Hollywood or wherever, and they came to the Frontier House to see how they would do, and they had a big family, and they had like the newlyweds, and then they had to, you know, make, like, literally they got there, some of the families got there, and they had to build their house from the logs, like in the area, like they had to cut down trees.
Goodness.
And they didn't have a house until they built this thing. It was really amazing stuff. And I don't know, it's not post-apocalyptic, but it reminded me of kind of that whole survival thing, which is actually, here's a little segue here. This actually goes into what our topic is for today, which is like emergency preparedness.
Yeah.
And this is something that we kind of alternate between games and movies and books and kind of real life situations, even, you know, humorous zombie situations. And we figured this would be a good time to talk about real life emergency preparedness. You know, this is something that's very real, that's something that we feel strongly about, so we wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, and the one we were going to talk about in specifically, you know, because emergency preparedness, you know, a lot of you are probably like, now, what are they referring to exactly? Because, you know, the emergency preparedness could be, you know, food storage, it could be, you know, learning how to live off the land, that type of thing. And the specific piece we're focusing on is sort of like that first nugget of emergency preparedness is, which is the quick, short term, you know, something just happened quick, what are you going to do about it kind of side, you know, whether it's, you know, knowing what to do when something happens, knowing how to make sure your family is coordinated and things, and then also having the information you need to go from there to know what's going on around you.
Yeah, and it's really important because I think it's something that we've really lost touch with. In the 50s and 60s, you know, people were building bomb shelters, you know, and that was a huge investment, and that was kind of the other side of the spectrum. Nowadays, I mean, I invite all of you listening to go check your house for a first aid kit. You know what I mean? Like, or even like a fire extinguisher. You know, I think that even basic things like that, we really, a lot of us take for granted now. So I think covering this is something that's really important.
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of fun too, because, you know, a lot of the long-term survival stuff, it's a riot. I mean, with some of us, I think it's a hoot. You know, sometimes the stuff can borderline out a little like kooky, but, you know, when it comes to the short-term stuff, let's be honest, none of us are where you're safe from everything. I mean, there's something, you know, whether it's, you know, fire, or maybe you live in an earthquake zone or tornado alley, something, you know, there's always going to be something that could inevitably happen in any given moment. And you just never know. I mean, here in the desert, you know, St. George, you know, we're sort of in this part of Utah where not a lot happens other than the fact that we have a lot of old people driving. That sounds rude, but, you know, yet for us at the same time, you know, not too long ago, 5 years ago, we had, a lot of rain, and there was, not only was there a flash flood, but there was this psychotic flash flood that came down, they called the Virgin River, which the Vegas jokes just fly off that one. But it's when the rain was coming down through this old dry bed, usually you'll see this gigantic bed and then this little tiny like stream in the middle. It came down so fast, it was tearing up. People's houses were falling in, and they were being rushed downstream, and people were like, we were declared an emergency zone. And this is something where, you know, the people building the houses never thought that something like that could even happen. And sadly enough, a lot of these people, it was a total loss. They didn't, you know, their association didn't have the insurance all of a sudden anymore. So, so that just goes to show you just never know what could happen.
Yeah. I mean, look at Katrina, you know. Yes. I mean, they had some warning, and, you know, to be fair, I guess New Orleans is kind of a hurricane alley right there, but, you know, they thought they were prepared. You know, they built these levees, and they were like, yeah, we're fine. Everything's going to be fine. And then, of course, the levees broke. So you never know when this stuff's going to happen. You never know when a tornado or an earthquake or anything. I mean, where I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee, there's a the TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority, is a big kind of power production area. I guess it's similar to the Hoover Dam over in your area, where it's, you know, there are dams set up all along the river, and there are also nuclear power plants. And we have a nuclear power plant literally probably, I don't know, maybe 30 miles from here. Mm-hmm. And it's there are all around on some of the roads, the major roads, there are signs that say, like, nuclear. It's called Sequoia Nuclear Power Plant, and they say Sequoia Evacuation Route. So, you know, they have this set up to where if there was ever a problem, like a meltdown at this power plant, that, you know, we have signs up already saying where to go for an evacuation. So it's one of those things that, you know, you see these signs driving by them every day, you know, going to work or whatever, and you don't really think twice about it. So I think we take a lot of that stuff for granted, and I think it's something that needs to be addressed. And not only natural disasters or nuclear power plant disasters or whatever, but anything could happen. You know, anything. You could, I mean, your power could go out, and you, like, this actually happened to me last winter, and I think I talked about this. The power went out, and I live on a really steep hill, so we couldn't drive. Nobody could drive up the hill. We couldn't drive down the hill. So we were essentially stuck in the house with no power for, you know, 3 or 4 days. And that is very common, especially, you know, it could be snow, it could be heat, it could be rain. Anything can knock out your power.
You know? Yeah, and that's it. We live with this kind of, what do you call this, almost comfort zone we have, because we have, you know, we have cars, and, you know, we things usually have things nearby. And the thing is, you know, if you were to right now, you know, while you're listening to this, you know, close your eyes, picture right now you have this moment, you're on the way home from work, and you have this momentary, and we'll just throw out a random thing. Let's just say that there was some kind of nuclear disaster, like nuclear power plant type thing, and it doesn't even have to be that. It could be a tornado warning, but let's just say, okay, you're on your way home. If you were on your way home right now and you heard that something like that was happening, they were evacuating you, let's say you were like, your first response is to go call your family. Well, let's say the phones were tied up, because of course they're tied up. Everybody's doing what you're doing. Would you be comforted to know that your family knows exactly how to respond or what to do? Or on the way home, are you panicked because you don't know if your family's at home or okay, or how they would respond to it, or let alone whether you should stay or leave? And see, that's it. You know, most of us are pretty, you know what kind of things can happen in our area, but do we know enough to be able to know at what point staying might be a better idea than leaving, you know? Mm-hmm. And that right there, most of us would probably fail that test, because I'll tell you right now, even me myself, you know, and we have a riot with this stuff, you know, wouldn't even the family side of it, if something happened, I couldn't get a hold of my family, they would not know how to find me. No contingency plan. So that's kind of where we're going with this, is, you know, a lot of that short-term what-if stuff, and kind of what you can do to remedy that. And, you know, we won't go over, like, a lot of it, because you could just run with this stuff for a week. But what we are going to do is get the process started and show you some really good resources to keep going with. But one of the things I was going to mention, when we first started coming up with this, one of the things that spurred this on is, you know, I live in Utah, and Utah has a large amount of, you know, Mormon, you know, Latter-day Saint community. And that's something they live for this stuff. They, you know, the preparedness is part of the mindset. And so, you know, I thought, well, this is great. You know, we can get some good info. And so it's funny though, that, you used to go on the government websites, you wouldn't see a lot of mention of this kind of thing, but since 9/11 and Homeland Security, boy, they've really beefed up what they have, because when you used to go to the LDS websites, you know, you could find all these links. Well, now they just link you to the website for the government one, which is funny, because the government has put together this website, and some of this we're going to be referencing, and it's www.ready.gov. And when you go there, you're going to find just an absolute staggering amount of information, anything from, you know, what you need in a 72-hour kit to how to prepare for certain disasters. And the beautiful thing about it is they have all this stuff is free. You can they have things you can download, pamphlets, little ID cards, and we'll go over this a little bit. But the way they have it divided up, and this is pretty much kind of the mainstream way, is when it comes to emergency preparedness, there's three phases, and what they say is the first thing you need to do is get a kit, and when they're referring to is a 72-hour kit. The second is to make a plan, which is basically know, you know, should something happen, how to respond quickly to it without having to even think about it. And the third is to be informed, and that is, of course, saying, you know, if you're in the middle of a nuclear disaster, do you know enough about what's happening to be able to respond and make a judgment call on stuff. Even if you couldn't get through like a radio, maybe there wasn't a way to hear some instructions, or maybe the instructions were not very good ones. And so that's another thing they focus on. So real quick, we're just going to start kind of at the beginning with the get a kit part, the 72-hour kit, in fact. And most of you have probably heard of this. For those of you who haven't, they have come up with this idea called the 72-hour kit, which is basically they come up with this number because if there was ever a disaster where you were stuck at home and were waiting for disaster response, like let's use Hurricane Katrina, for example, there was a couple days before people were able to get the help that they needed. You know, before they had food and water and airlifted out. That's one of the ideas, is that thought that if you were ever stuck somewhere, you could still have enough to keep you going for a couple of days. The other is they've come up with this number being that if somebody's evacuated and it's hopefully a short-term thing, usually a couple of days is plenty of time to find out how to find a plan B, or whether or not it was maybe whatever it was, if it was a disaster, they got it, like a chemical spill, something, they got it cleaned up, or even acclimate weather, they you're able to come in right after the storm. If it's longer than that, you're onto a whole different world of hurt anyway. I don't think a kit would help very much. But one of the things that they mentioned with the 72-hour kit is you don't want to go too crazy with it. It's a kit that you need to be able to have at any given moment where you can grab the kit and go. And what it does is it focuses on just the basics, the things that you'd need for these 3 days that you and your family would be going through this. And a lot of people, what they'll do is, I've seen people, they get really fancy, they keep it in backpacks. Some people keep it in a nice giant bag. One thing I say is, you know, if you can get a nice giant bag and not make it too much of a pain, grab one, because, you know, the more stuff you can get in there, the better. But what they do is they say you want to have enough for each of your family members of these different items they mention for 3 days. And obviously, we'll go over just a couple of them. The first one, obviously, that they recommend is water. And what they do is they give you, water is a given, especially if you live in, you know, a hot environment like, you know, in the desert. They mention 1 gallon of water per person per day for at least 3 days. So you're going to use some of it for probably sanitation, some of it for drinking. Now, if you live in a desert environment, I would double that number, because you're going to go through water probably a lot quicker. If even in summertime and you're not in a desert environment, you could still go through it a lot quicker. And you want to make sure, obviously, that you'd be shocked. You know, a lot of the food that people keep in some form might need water. Water is just one of those things that if you can't have enough of it.
Yeah, especially if you have like dehydrated packets of food. Like
exactly.
You'll find it at Army Navy surplus stores and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that brings up a good point, because, you know, food being the next thing, you know, you want at least a 3-day supply, and you want non-perishable foods. And so you want something that's not going to go bad on you overnight. And usually what they refer to is, you know, if you're really fancy, you know, let's be honest, those military MREs, those things are so cool, because you have everything self-contained. They're designed for survival in that regard anyway. They're designed to give you a certain amount of calories per day. And they even have, most of them have those little fancy heaters, like portable heaters, that so you can have a hot meal in addition. But, you know, some people that I've seen around here in St. George, you know, they'll put anything from, you know, granola bars to, you know, what do you call it? Like anything that you would have that wouldn't go bad over time. But what you want to do is make sure it's something that's going to give you some nutrition. You don't want to just go get too crazy on like wacky food. But at the same time, and this is probably the single biggest piece of advice people have ever given me, and this applies even to normal food storage, buy what you're going to eat. Don't go buying stuff that's so off the wall. Don't go buy like something crazy that's like some, you know, if you're somebody who likes normal food, don't go buy a health food bar, because, you know, there's a certain level of psychological there that, you know, if you're not used to eating the foods you're about to cram down, you're just going to make your life a little more intense. You don't need that.
Actually, I think even referring back to the Army surplus stores, they actually have a lot of great materials that you can use for things like this. I have kind of I don't really have an established, organized kit like this, which I really need to do. This is reminding me. But I do have some of that stuff. I have like a first aid kit and things like that. But I also have a mess kit, which they sell at those stores, which is, you know, things you might take for granted, but it's, you know, all your bowls and plates and knives and forks and everything in a little tiny, probably 6-inch.
Portable,
yeah, a little portable 6-inch container that you can just throw in a bag somewhere. And that might be something you take for granted. Maybe you don't think it's, you know, a priority, but I think it is, if you're going to be, you know, food and drink is a pretty important part of survival. So even having just that little mess kit, which they don't list that here, but I think that it's one of those things that, you know, might be important, as well as the MREs, like you were saying.
Yeah, and even candy to an extent. I mean, you know, that's one thing I see a lot of people do is they throw candy in there because, for one thing, you know, blood sugar, you know, candy can be good. The sugar in candy isn't always a bad thing. I mean, some places, you know, the sugar may be something you really do need. And so you'll see people put, like, Lifesavers in there and stuff like that because it's a hard candy. It's not going to go bad. Like, you know, like a candy bar, it could melt, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, you want to aim for things that can withstand a lot of time.
And also canned foods. I know that we actually can a lot of foods from our garden, and then we eat the so we can have the vegetables during the winter. But it lasts a long time. Although the only bad part there is the glass containers. You know, they're not really that portable, not practical for carrying around a lot, like throwing in a bag and carrying around. So that might not be the biggest thing. But if you had like a basement or something like that, and you can have like a cabinet or a cupboard just with some, you know, canned goods, they don't really go bad for years. You know, they stay pretty
I think
good.
They say what, like, yeah, technically, if you have a good environment and it's a cool, dry environment, some of these people, you know, you hear about these people from, you know, 30 years ago canning stuff, and don't quote me on that year, but the stuff lasts a psychotic long time if they did it correctly. And, you know, most of these, like, especially out here, you know, a lot of these grandparents, you'll see stuff they can, and they had it down to a science.
Oh, yeah.
Even the stuff you buy in the store, I mean, even canned food like Dinty Moore beef stew, that kind of thing, you know, canned food in the store, it has a shelf life of a year, at least a year. So, you know, that's something where, you know, a 72-hour kit, I think if you're clever, you know, the canned food that would come in a normal can, maybe even get the kind that have the little pull-open tops. Yeah. Where you can pop them open very easily. Stuff like that is very easy to use because you're not having to worry about the water. You know, the water is part of the can. You can, you know, fruit cocktail, you can drink the stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So that's definitely good to have.
And also, I think an important part is, I think probably what the Mormons do is you rotate it. You know, you take the oldest stuff, you kind of put the newest stuff in the back, and then you use the oldest stuff and so that it's continuously being used, right? Isn't it? Because they have a two-year setup, right?
Yep, 2 years. And that's the kicker is, you know, I think that whenever you see people do food storage, you know, they kind of like, they go buy 20,000 tons of wheat. And I always laugh because I'm like, what are you going to do with it? You know, have you eaten wheat other than bread? You know, but that's the kicker is you want to store the foods you like. And so out here, what they do is they get those fancy shelves where you're constantly rotating the food in and out as you eat. Mm-hmm. And what a brilliant idea, because then you don't have that psychological hit. And if you don't think you're going to have it, I challenge you tomorrow to stop eating what you're eating and go do some kind of diet. And you'll see really quick, it's funny at first, and then you start to kind of, you know, there's this certain amount of psychological trauma you take when you change your food patterns. Yeah. You know, ask anybody who went to basic training in the military. They'll tell you that right there.
Oh, yeah.
One of the other thing they mentioned, too, that's important is, you know, battery-powered or hand-crank radios, and even a weather radio if possible, you know, they have the tone alerts and the extra batteries. You know, a radio, you're going to be shocked at how much something like this could suddenly become your lifeline, because let's be honest, if you've got a disaster going on, the phones are going to be tied up with emergency services. Most of the time what happens is, especially cell phones, they'll shut down your service because they want to keep the lines free for emergency. Anyway, and if you have something that, God forbid, is a gigantic problem, like a nuclear problem, there's no telling what kind of problems you're going to have as far as using a phone or trying to get through to somebody. But, you know, a radio may be all you have. And don't depend on the one on your car, because you still have to have your car to be able to use it. Yeah. You want to be able to grab something you can run with, even if it's to the basement during a tornado.
Yeah. I actually have two hand crank lights. I have a little small flashlight, and it's really efficient because I got it not too long ago, but it has three LEDs on it, and then it's a little hand crank on the side, and it lasts a long time. And LEDs, of course, don't use as much energy as regular bulbs, so you can crank it and it'll last for probably 10 minutes or so, it'll stay pretty bright. And that thing has been great. I use that thing everywhere, and I don't, you know, it doesn't need batteries or anything. And then I have another one. I actually got it as a Christmas gift one year from an old job, and it has a not only does it have a light in it, but it also has a radio in it. So you can crank it, and you can listen to the radio without the use of batteries. And I think that these are kind of more long-term, I think, than short-term. Because short-term, you know, you can deal with batteries, and they'll last a little while, especially if you have extra batteries. Mm-hmm. But preparing for something long-term is when you have to think about, well, what happens when the batteries go out? You know, what happens if, you know, there's no stores around you that sell batteries, or no companies that make batteries anymore? You know, like, if you just keep going that long-term, then hand crank is pretty cool. But they sell those things anywhere. I mean, you go to Walmart in the sporting goods section, and you can get some really good, cheap hand crank flashlights that are only probably 5 inches long. I mean, they're pretty small, and mm-hmm. they're really efficient. I really like them.
Well, and nowadays, you know, we live in a, you know, the digital age. Well, actually, we're moving beyond that. I think we're about to become self-aware in some form. There's really no excuse to probably not have something like this. I mean, you know, they have, for crying out loud, like you said, you know, they have flashlights that have these things in them. And so, but it's funny because yet, if you look at your house right now, I'll bet you most of us, including myself, didn't think about that. Yeah. And so it's kind of a wake-up call, like, yeah, what would we do? Because, we'll carry extra batteries, no problem. Yeah, well, if that's the case, how come when your remote died, you were scrambling for them? You know, because let's be honest, most of us don't have the extra batteries. We do at times, we don't need it, but lo and behold, the minute you need it, you didn't have it.
And batteries are actually another one of those things that you have to rotate. You know, you can't store yes. batteries for 10 years because they will leak and get all over your drawer and, you know, eat a hole through it, because I've had that happen. So it's one yeah. of those things that you also have to rotate batteries as well.
Definitely. Yeah, and that's you know, that brings up a good point too. When it comes to long-term food storage, that type of thing, obviously the timeline of switching things in and out can be longer. When it comes to a 72-hour kit, because again, this is to keep you good for 3 days or so, they recommend switching it, or it's rotating out the stuff that can go bad every 6 months at least. Most of the people out here I've seen, they usually do it about every 3 to 4 months. Again, you know, it just kind of depends on what you have in your kit. If you're one of those fancy people who went online and bought one of those kits that is guaranteed to last you 5 years because all your drinking water is in a little pouch, hallelujah, you're good. You know, just keep that under your bed. The minute you hear a siren and you know you have to evacuate or something, grab that thing, you're out the door in 30 seconds. Your neighbors are still trying to figure out where the batteries are. So that's good to know. But that speaking of batteries too, a flashlight, you'd be amazed, again, how many of us have a flashlight that's a durable flashlight that's good to grab in a moment's notice. Most of us, you know, myself included, do one of two things. Either they have a flashlight somewhere, but they can't find it, or you do what I do and pull out the iPod and use that as your flashlight, which is both lazy and ridiculous, but it justifies the 99-cent app you paid. But yeah, let's be honest, you know, in a time when something could be going wrong, again, you don't think about stuff like that because you're probably reading this during the daytime, but boy, if you didn't have power in your house, it gets mighty dark during your nighttime hours. So, you know, good luck telling your kids why they can't see you, you know, having a flashlight, you know.
What I think is kind of cool, and we've done this a few times in my family, is have like a no electricity night. You know what I mean? Like, have
That's
one night where you just literally go and you flip the main power switch in your power box and you don't have any power at all. And just, you know, tell stories, read books, play cards, you know, light some candles. Yeah. It's one of those things where when you can do it like that, it's a much less stressful situation where you can kind of know what to expect. So then if that did happen, if you did lose your power completely, then you'd be like, oh, well, we know where the cards are. We know where the candles are. You know, let's do like we did that one time where we were just acting like the power went out. You know, I think that's something that families should really do, just to kind of make it fun.
That's a really good idea, because you're trying to avoid that culture shock that they're going to have when something dramatic happens. Because, I mean, you know, you as a parent or you as an adult, obviously there's a certain level of stress you're going to be going through. And your kids, it's going to be amplified because they're going to see you worried and they're going to freak out twice as bad. Well, you know, imagine, you know, not to say you want to like, you know, you want to keep your kids as calm as possible. And so you could very, you know, carefully, like you said, you know, hey, we're going to do what we did that one night. What do you think? You know, mm-hmm. And that brings a good point, because, you know, candles could be part of this, because you never know if the 72-hour kit, maybe whatever happens, keeps you at home. The 72-hour kit is suddenly, you know, maybe your backup for in case you're out of food when it happened. But, you know, when you're on the road, you know, candles, maybe it seemed like a big deal, but you never know where you might, you know, make use of a candle here or there.
Yeah.
The next one, and what we're doing here is we're just kind of focusing on the basics. The next one they mentioned is a first aid kit. I think we kind of mentioned that quite a bit. Again, yeah. How many of us have first aid kits? And one good thing that they mentioned, especially here in Utah, they always say is you should have a big first aid kit in your house, like a bigger one, and at least a good size one under your seat in your car or in your trunk. And it's like, really, in your car? Oh, yeah. You never know when you're going to need that. And it's exactly right. We actually keep one in our little tool cases at work. And, boy, I don't know. I want to tell you how many times I've almost bled on somebody's floor, cut my hand open. Oops, crap. You know, there's the Band-Aid. Oh, good, you know. So you never know what could happen. You know, first aid kits, they even come with things like Tylenol, you know, that kind of thing. And maybe that's enough to have. And I would put on top of that, you know, prescriptions that you have, you know, if you're somebody who needs insulin, you know, make sure you have something like that nearby that you could keep in that kit, because, oh, you don't want to be down the road and suddenly remember that, you know, you don't have asthma medicine or your insulin or something like that, because life could get mighty complicated real fast.
Yeah, I think another thing that actually this is listed later on, it's kind of an additional optional thing, but I want to mention it with the first aid kit, is an extra pair of glasses for anyone who wears glasses, because I've thought about this a lot. You know, I'm practically blind without my glasses, and if it came to the point where, you know, there was an emergency and I only had one pair of glasses and, you know, no access to an eye doctor or anything like that, and then the glasses broke. I mean, it's really possible, because if, you know, say there was an earthquake and something fell on you and broke your glasses, I mean, if that happened to me, I would be just screwed. You know what I mean? I would be so blind, I wouldn't be able to see my hand in front of my face. So it's one of those things where if you had an extra pair somewhere safe, that like a first aid kit, then that would actually come in really handy.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, things like that you are everyday things that you don't really realize you depend on. I mean, one of the things they mentioned later on the list, it's funny that they put it under additional to consider, is, you know, things like, you know, diapers and infant formula, stuff like that, or dog food, extra water for your pet. You know, these, like right there with the glasses, these are things you use every day. Can you imagine getting down the road and having a child, like, you know, in diapers and, we don't have any, you know, life could get really uncomfortable, even if it was only 3 days. And in the midst of a disaster, you're not exactly sure when things will be back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the things too, and this was interesting in looking at the list that they included, they mentioned having a wrench or pliers to turn off your utilities. You know, that hadn't even dawned on me. Because if you're in a place where there could be a possible tornado or something like that, where there could be some damage to the house, you know, the first thing you're going to want to do is turn off your gas line, turn off your you know, if there's a freeze coming, you want to be able to, like, turn off your water. Of course, you'd probably have a heads up on that one, unless you watch that movie The Day After Tomorrow. But, I mean, it's something you don't think about. It's like even wrenches or pliers, you know, you don't know where you could make use of that. It's a tool, you know.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I hadn't even thought of that one.
Yeah, and some of these other ones actually on the list are ones that I think they list them as mandatory. They say, or recommended, but there are ones you don't think of, but they have like moist towelettes, garbage bags, and plastic ties for personal sanitation. You know, that's kind of something you probably wouldn't think about too much. The pliers, like you said, can opener for food. Now there's something. Like if you didn't, you could have all this food and you don't have a can opener, and you'll be Mad Maxing it with your knife, you know, sticking.
Yes. The best Far Side comic of all time is the one where the old lady and the old man in the bunker full of canned food, and she's like, I told you, a can opener ain't much good without a can opener. And he's just standing there like, no.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's one of those things. You have to think of the whole chain of items instead of just one. You know, you can't get a, like, tunnel vision on this stuff. But local maps, that's another one, in case
that's
you need to.
That's a great one. Yeah, what if you get up the interstate, you're on your way north on the interstate, and they shut off the road.
Yeah.
You know, would you be able to know the back road to take to still get where you're going? Because, you know, everywhere you go, there's plenty of back highways. Do you know where they are?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, don't depend on your phone GPS, because there may not be one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's actually another one on the list, is a cell phone with chargers, inverter, or solar charger. That's one of those things I think would be perfect for a 72-hour kit. Most people have their cell phones on them anyway, but I think the charger is the big one here. And a solar charger would be the biggest one, because, you know, if your power went out, you really don't have any way of charging. I remember when my power went out in the winter, like I was saying, and, you know, I have an iPhone, and those things have horrible battery life. So I could just keep the phone for emergencies, or, you know, tell the time, things like that. But I couldn't really do anything else with it because it would eat the battery life, and I didn't have a charger. You know, I didn't have any way of charging it. So like a solar charger would actually be a really cool idea.
Yeah, and, you know, it is funny, though, because I'm looking at this list of things they consider. You may want to consider this. You know, there's three things on there that I would put as absolutes. One is, like, sleeping bag or warm blankets. You know, imagine if it's the middle of the winter. Yeah, good. You know, you don't plan on just having your coat. You're going to need, what if something happens, you know, and you're stuck in your car? Yeah. They mention, you know, things like, you know, books and games, puzzles for your kids. You know, that's a great one. The one that I thought was the one that, again, I kind of hit my head against the wall thinking, why didn't I think of that? You know, one of these they mentioned is cash. What if you get up down the road, you're on your way to somebody's house up north and credit card machines aren't working? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to pull out cash? What if the prices suddenly go up because, you know, Bob, the gas station guy, is suddenly getting trampled by everybody. He's up the prices now.
Yeah.
You never know what's getting stuck.
That happened during 9/11. I remember all the gas stations went nuts, charging $6-7 for a gallon. Yeah.
Just crazy prices, and you just never know when it's going to hit you, because you could have a great, even your emergency plan could be like, get up to grandma's house, you know, 6 hours away. Well, if you don't have the gas, you have a problem. One thing I do like here that they mentioned, this would be another one that I would add to your 72-hour kit. They mention important family documents such as copies of insurance policies, identification, bank account records in a waterproof portable container. The thing that made me think about that was first of all, all these people who lived, you know, in New Orleans, you know, they've got to have a way to prove that they lived in that house. You know, if you're on your way, you know, north and you get stopped, do you have the proper ways to prove you are who you are? I mean, other than your driver's license or your identification card, you just never know. You know, your insurance policy, if something happens to your house while you're gone, boy, you don't want to be calling up the insurance company telling them you don't have it, because they're going to get that smirk. It's you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, insurance fraud is constant out there. I mean, these insurance companies, they're not – They're used to dealing with goofballs, and so they may not take you very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think even with the waterproof container for the documents, throw a couple matches in there. You know, you want to – I mean, fire is such an important thing, if especially in the long term, something that you might take for granted. And little things like that, you know, a lighter, matches, something that will fit in any corner, you know, of everything else that won't really take up much room – paper, pencil. I mean, you don't really think about that kind of stuff. They even actually mention the mess kits here too. They say, you know, paper cups, plates, plastic utensils. I would much rather go with a mess kit, a little metal mess kit that you can reuse, than paper and plastic. But you know, paper and pencil, just little stuff like that. I mean, I don't know, you could get kind of fancy with it and think of, like, fasteners, you know, like safety pins, things like that, where you might need for, you know, ripped clothing or any kind of, like, a little sewing kit for, which I guess would be in a first aid kit if you had, like, a puncture or a cut or something like that, you know, and you couldn't get out, you were trapped or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of things like that, just little tiny things that you could stick in the corners of your pack that wouldn't take up much room, but they would still be very helpful.
Yeah, and if it's one of those where they would have taken one little tiny pocket of it, like one of the things they mentioned here is to have matches in a waterproof container. And it's funny because you think about that, you know, if you ended up in the middle of nowhere and you were stranded in, you know, let's say you're in the forest and, you know, it's the middle of the night, your kids are crying and, you know, like, God forbid, you know, we're going extreme with this, but, you know, are you going to be able to start a fire? You know, how are you going to keep your kids warm? And it's, you know, you're going to be looking at that little tiny pocket that you thought you didn't really need on your little backpack or whatever, going, I could have had a whole thing of matches in there. And you're going to be smacking your head against the wall. And that's the kicker is, you know, you don't want to go too crazy with this because, again, it's like a three-day kit. Now, that's not to say you don't have one down the line that's a bigger one, but this is the one you'd grab and go. But at the same time, you want to try to foresee any of these things that can happen in a short period of time. And it's stunning. When you look at these things we've mentioned, that's a pretty good size list. And we've mentioned what we will consider to be the basics.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't even gotten to the detailed stuff yet. I mean, and that's the thing is it's, you know, that right there is a good example of, you know, have you ever really stopped to take a look at what you need and what you'd be able to do? Now imagine in retrospect, this having never gotten the 72-hour kit, let's say you had an evacuation warning. Now you not only have to sit down and come up with these things quickly and find them. Not only that, you are bound. Most of these things we've mentioned as we were reading the list, we hadn't even thought of. Now, what happens when you go try to make it in a hurry? You're going to grab everything you can find, but you're going to get down the road and go, I don't have this. And you're going to smack yourself in the head. Now, here's one that is another one. And this almost, I say this half as a joke, but at the same time, dead serious. What about toilet paper? Who says you're going to be able to find, a latrine or a bathroom nearby? And, you know, if you can, they sell those portable type toilets, the breakdown kind where they have the chemicals and stuff. You know, 3 days can get really crazy. You know, look at these people. And again, we're using, New Orleans as the example. How many of these people were stuck in their houses and waiting for somebody to get them out? Well, you know, what about using the restroom? You have a problem. If you don't, if you don't know where you're at, especially if it's a situation where, you don't know how long it's going to be, it could get mighty uncomfortable.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of those things that you just don't really think about. I mean, there are so many different situations. You know, I was thinking, too, we're talking about this as a short-term thing, but we should sometime down the road have a show on long-term emergency stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the beauty of this, is this one is sort of the precursor to that because we're kind of hitting on the basics. Rest assured that, Sean and I, we've already gotten the pipeline, and it's funny how you could almost break it down. You could, like food storage alone, like canned food, what we were talking about, you could make a whole show out of that because it really is an art form in and of itself. And they're just like, using the Mormon communities out here as an example, they have they do this stuff all the time, and it's amazing how much more you can learn each time. They have these like little every so often they'll have like a community thing where everybody kind of shares these little ideas they have. And ever since 9/11, even you see the cities getting involved. Suddenly the cities are having these thing. FEMA is telling them to have these like preparedness seminars, and everybody's starting to get on the ball because we live in interesting times, as it were. You just never know what could happen, and in the nuclear age, there's a lot of weirdness that could take place very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and we've touched on the basics, and we don't obviously want to draw this out too far, but these, one thing I will say is I encourage you, this ready.gov website, click on the part where it says get a kit. They have on the side PDFs of just about everything you can find, anything from instructional videos to friendly lists of supplies that you can actually print out and do a checklist of. They go talk about specifics like water, where we just kind of breezed over it. They will go down into basics telling you, do this, don't do this, make sure you get this. I encourage you to check this out. It's some pretty amazing stuff. They even go as far as talking about, military families who move around quite a bit, even older Americans who, you get older, you're retired, do your grandparents have a 72-hour kit, or did they even, I don't know, you get retired and maybe you stop thinking about things like that. Not my grandparents. My grandpa just freaks out about it all the time, so that's a given. But, you never know. There's some needs, blood pressure medication, that type of thing that they might need. Even if you have pets, last thing you want to do is starve your dog.
I think also what's interesting about this website is they have, like you were saying, they have the different situations. They have the three different: get a kit, make a plan, and be informed. Now, under the be informed tab, they have lots of different scenarios and situations, and they literally have nuclear threat on there. I mean, they have nuclear threat, they have radiation threat, they have explosions, they even have volcanoes and tsunamis, they have different sections for every type of situation, which would pertain to where you live. If you live near volcanoes, then you should definitely check that part out. If you live near a nuclear power plant, check that out. And it's all situational. We could sit here and make 10 shows on specifics on emergency preparedness, but it probably wouldn't cover the situation that would pertain to everyone out there. It's just so situational.
Well, they do a beautiful job of this too, because maybe you don't realize how much you have nearby you. What they do, you can even type in your zip code, and they will handpick you the ones that can apply to you. Yeah. Right down to, and this I encourage, even down at the bottom, they mention just regular food safety. They talk about things like if you had a power outage, how long would your fridge keep the food protect it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then even state and local information, which is so important, you know, you should print this off and stick this on your fridge. You know, just you'll type in your zip code and they'll pop you up all the nearby state and local places, like anything from fire department to FEMA, you name it. I mean, do you really know where all those places are located? You might have places nearby you didn't even know you had nearby.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good to know this stuff. You know, like we said at the beginning, a lot of us just kind of are oblivious to this because we're comfortable, you know, being secure in what we have right now. And you know, 9/11 came along almost 10 years ago now. And it's incredible to think that at that time, you know, we were all kind of shocked. But here we are 10 years later almost, and we're kind of getting back into the comfort zone again. You know, we're kind of like, oh, yeah, that happened a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But anything could happen at any time. And so it's just one of those things where it doesn't really do much to be prepared. You know, you get yourself prepared, you make this pack. Even if it's non-perishable stuff, you get it together and you throw it off somewhere and you just keep it in the back of your mind as where it's at. And it really doesn't do anything, you know, to you. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't hurt you in any way to have this set up and ready. Of course, you can also do the rotating thing where it's a little bit more maintenance and, you know, a little bit more kind of manicuring, you know, your kit and making sure that everything is up to date and everything, which is kind of the next step. But either way you do it, it's good to at least be prepared a little bit.
Yeah, well, and response time is such a big player because let's say that everybody, I mean, you know, for the most part, everybody's going to get extreme news at probably around the same time. You know, when 9/11 took place, you know, everybody, with the exception of me who figures it out an hour later, that was embarrassing. What's going on, guys? What happened, you know, everybody kind of, true story, yeah, everybody, you know, had gotten the news around the same time. Well, guess what? Let's say that there was an evacuation in your city. Guess how long it's going to take everybody to grab their stuff. Guess how quickly those freeways are going to lock. If you imagine, you know, taking 15, 20 minutes to get out the door versus 2 seconds, you grab the bag, you run, you're in the car, boom, you're down the line before most people have even decided what they're bringing, or if, for that matter, whether they're leaving or not. That's the biggest piece of it, and that's where, you know, Sean mentions the being informed, that, you know, anything that's in your area, you may want to take a peek, because they will even tell you, you know, if there's a nuclear disaster, they will explain to you what that means. Like, if there's a nuclear bomb, what does that do? What should you be afraid of? What, you know, what's myth and what's not? You should, you know, if it's stuff in your area, you know, volcanoes or tornadoes, it's common sense to know what you're dealing with, and if you don't, you're asking for trouble.
And I think is another giant part of that is there are a lot of myths that go around with this stuff. You know, I remember growing up, and I grew up in Northwest Indiana near Chicago. We had tornado drills where all the time we would have a drill and we'd have to go under our desk.
Go under the desk, yep.
Yeah, or when I went to high school, we had the drills and we had to go in the hallway and all kind of put our heads down up against the wall. But then it's like, okay, but if it's an earthquake, you're supposed to go under the doorway. So if you maybe, you know, in a panicking situation, you'll be like, wait, am I supposed to go under the doorway? Am I supposed to go against the wall? Am I supposed to go under a desk? You know, so it's like there are all these different things that you hear, and especially when you're growing up, you know, you do it as part of just because everybody's doing it. You know, you don't really think twice about why you're doing it or anything.
That's right.
You know, you're in second grade, and you're just happy to, you know, be out in the hallway with your friends. So to know it now when you have a little bit more of a comprehension of that, I think is very important. And one other thing I want to mention too, which I just noticed on the website for ready.gov, is September is National Preparedness Month. So they talk about, I guess they're going to have, you know, a lot more, kind of push this whole thing a lot more in September and make sure that everyone is prepared and understands what's going on. So I think we're pretty timely on this, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. And the beautiful thing is that this website, you know, it's, you know, obviously, you know, it was made by the government of the United States. But what, I mean, everything they talk about, you know, it's going to apply to you. Maybe your choice of what you're going to put in it might be slightly different. Or, you know, if you're a very cold environment, you may choose to put different things versus a warm environment. But food is food, and a tornado is a tornado, whether you're in the United States or somewhere else. And so, you know, even if you're not, you know, here in the United States, you know, this website, everything they mention is going to apply in some form. even if it, you know, some of the specifics may not. And so anybody, I mean, I've been through a lot of sites through the, you know, the 15 years that I've been having fun with this kind of preparedness idea, you know, the whole, you know, post-apocalyptic stuff. But I'll tell you, this site is the first one that did it in a format that didn't absolutely overwhelm you to death. It's very cut and dry, right down to like details on the site. And the fact that they have so much printable material that is stuff you wouldn't think about, but you get these little, like, for example, the 72-hour kit, to actually have this printable list that they make up, and you're not sitting there going, make it, you know, writing it out yourself. You know, throw this on your fridge, you're more apt to go grab these things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, another website I want to mention, too, was FEMA.gov.
Yes.
They have, I think it's not as good as Ready.gov, but they do have a lot of information on there. They actually have this, on the sidebar, when you go there, they have this thing called Are You Ready? It's an Are You Ready guide. And you can check it out to see if, you know, kind of test yourself and see if you're ready for something to happen. And on this page, they have a ton of little videos you can watch, little Windows Media videos. Like they have, you know, make a plan, get informed, disaster supplies kit, which is, those are kind of the three big ones that we just talked about. But they also have, you know, what do you do with people with disabilities? What do you do for food and water, helping children, and how to get involved more in kind of volunteering for this whole thing. But they have videos for it. If you don't want to sit here and read, you can actually watch these videos. So it's so FEMA.gov is another one. And again, this is, you know, an American, U.S. government website, but it pertains to anyone. And even if you're in a different country listening to this right now, and I'm sure that your government has a website like this, you know, more than likely.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, the amount of information, you know, in the internet ages, you know, the information out is all out there. You know, it used to be a lot harder. You used to have to mail away for this stuff, but this stuff is there. They're giving it away free. At this point, if you don't have the info you need, it's because you didn't look. And that's why, you know, we mentioned this. Even we were taken back. I mean, we look at this stuff all the time, and here I am stumbling onto this government website going, well, how did I miss this? And it's probably the most fascinating, you know, well put together website I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah.
And that actually brings us to what I consider, you know, the most important thing. They have it as number two in the little list. But I actually consider, you know, you think you have culture shock and freak out thinking, what do I not have in my 72-hour kit? Try having a disaster happen and trying to find your family. And it seems like simple if you think about it. But if let's say, again, scenario. Let's say something happened. You know, one of the movies I just watched not too long ago was a movie called Right at Your Doorstep. I think it's like Right at Your Doorstep, but it was supposed to be like a dirty bomb gets set off downtown Los Angeles, and it's about this guy and his wife was at work downtown trying to dealing with what he's seeing, trying to, like, you know, cover his windows up with plastic and the kind of trauma that he's going through doing this. You know, things like this, you don't think about it. Well, let's say something like that happened. Let's say you live in Los Angeles, a dirty bomb went on downtown, and now the sky's, you know, raining ash and who knows what's in it. Where are your kids? Are your kids at school? Are your kids at a daycare? Does the daycare know what to do in case of an emergency, or is your daycare person freaking out right now? And if your kid is at school, what's their contingency plan? Are they keeping them there in the basement? Can you go get them? Do you know where they are? And that is one thing that this site makes a really heavy use of. They go as detailed as talking about, you know, unique family needs that you might have, even whether or not, you know, schools and workplaces, you know, whether you're even in a moving vehicle driving down the road when this something happens. You know, they even go into detail about what to do or not do when you're in a car. And this, you know, just breezing through some of the stuff, you know, it was amazing how much of this stuff was like, why didn't I think of that? You know, stuff I would not have known until I read that at that moment.
Yeah. I think it's important, too, to point out that this is about making a plan that
That's
you can
right.
kind of keep in the back of your mind and just let people know, you know, just so that there's something there, some kind of foundation to what, you know, what you would refer to as instinct, you know, well, I guess instinct versus knowledge. You know, you would have that knowledge in the back of your mind, what you do in that situation, an emergency situation. But we're definitely, I think there's a line that, you know, between being paranoid and
That's
being
right.
prepared. You know, I want to make sure that people know that we're not saying every day, in every, you know, when you go in your car, sit there and worry about
things
this.
Things might happen.
Yeah, and we're not really saying, you know, be crazy about it. But if you just kind of get that peace of mind where you're prepared. You know you'll be fine. You know that your family's prepared. And
that's
then,
exactly right.
Yeah, and then move on with your life and continue to
preparedness not be, breeds confidence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and it's the scout motto. And if you're a scout leader, you should have known that. No, I'm just kidding. And that's exactly right. The thing is to have, and I like whenever I talk about with people, you know, I always tell them like having a family emergency plan. It's not about what to do to keep from freaking out. What it's usually do is to making sure that you're all on the same page, because you think about it, and even though your version of common sense and what you would do in a disaster doesn't mean that your spouse or somebody near you to you would have the exact same idea. He might even know more than you and have a better idea. But here, for example, one of the things that they talk about, it will just go over a couple quick points here. One of the things that they say is that you want to have, and this was fascinating, they say that if there's ever a disaster, you want to have an out-of-town contact. And they say that a lot of times the reasoning is two reasons. One is if there's a disaster locally, this person out of town would be safe from your area. But the main reason is if you are trying to make a phone call when there's a disaster taking place, your ability to get a local phone line is probably going to be completely screwed. But because of the way that local phone lines and long distance phone trunk lines work, you may have a better chance of getting a long distance line switched over than a local one, which is fascinating. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
And it's something that, you know, you don't think about a lot. You know, the first thing you do is grab the cell phone, call the family. Well, how many times even in the movies, and sure enough, in that movie that I was watching the other day, that's exactly what happened is, where, you know, all of our lines are busy. Well, yeah, they shut them down because the emergency services are using them and everybody's trying to call their parents.
Yeah. And if you have an iPhone with AT&T, you probably don't get service anyway, so. Even without a disaster.
That's funnier than you know. I just had some people come down from up north, and they were complaining about that exact thing. Everybody from AT&T is like, oh, you. One of the things, though, it goes a step further because they say, you know, okay, maybe you do have an out-of-town contact. Do your children know who that is? Do your children, even if they aren't old enough to understand that, do they have a way of getting it to the person who does? You know, they say, you know, be sure that every member of your family knows that phone number and it has a cell phone or coins or a prepaid phone card to call that emergency contact. Because let's say your kid does have that number. Well, how's he going to call? If he doesn't have a cell phone, is he going to go to a payphone? Does he have coins?
Do they even have payphones anymore?
Do they have payphones anymore? Yeah, exactly. You never know. Yeah. And they call it they call that your ICE card, and it stands for in case of emergency, which I thought was a hoot, you know, the ICE card. And that's the kicker. You want to make sure that you know that you have like a card that you can look off of, so you don't, maybe your phone freaks out. If you're looking to try to find that, you know, speed dial number. You know, good luck, because you never know what could be happening at that moment. One of the things they have on this website is they have these wallet cards you can print out, and they even have ones for your kids you can print out that have all the emergency info. Because even if your child might be young, you know, let's say he's kindergarten, first grade, if anything, he can pass that on to the person who, you know, might be watching over them. Maybe they, like, you know, maybe they find a police officer. Now, this sounds extreme because it sounds like by this time the world's already fallen apart, but you just never know when that card might come in handy, and maybe your child is just barely learning it, but if they have that card at the ready, whoever's with them could help them out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And boy, that would put your mind at ease to know that no matter what happens, there's a backup plan. And that's the kicker. It really is about knowing, having your family all be on the same page, because if you were on your way home right now, let's say you're an hour outside of town and there was a disaster, let's say something happened, maybe you can't get home. Would you know how to get a hold of your family, or would they know how to get a hold of you? What's your contingency plan? Do you know where to meet up if something happened, or what would be considered staying home? And that's where it becomes really important, because, you know, another movie I just watched again, was, Testament. What happened? Oh, yeah. You know, they were trying to get a hold of the father in San Francisco. They can't get a hold of him at all. And there was no, those poor people, they had no idea what had happened. As time passed, they have a pretty good idea. But it's one of those where, you know, he could have just not had a cell phone. And, you know, if they had a contingency plan, who know? Well, in their case, they may not have been able to. But, you know, you never know how much this could change for you.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, too, and that the website mentions, and I won't go into too much detail on this one. I'll just kind of mention that it's there because, we encourage you guys to go, you know, take what we've mentioned just to kind of pique your interest and go to the next level with this. One of the things that they talk about is deciding whether to stay or go. because, you know, you always hear people talk about, you know, oh, if things get bad, you know, I'm out of here. Well, maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe going outside is the wrong thing to do. Maybe, you know, and you see that in a lot of, you know, for example, the dirty bomb example or a terrorist attack. Would going outside be the smartest thing to do or not? Or maybe, I mean, in some places, you know, if there's a snowstorm coming, or a lot of times you'll hear them talk about sometimes staying where you're at and having yourself prepared is the best place rather than trying to go out and brave it. They actually go into detail explaining to you what the possibilities could be and what they recommend. And even as far as talking about, you know, if you live in a high-rise building, you know, if you're in a neighborhood or you're in an apartment, you know, things like this to plan for, because, you know, somebody who lives at the top of a skyscraper, his plan might be completely different than somebody who lives, say, in the middle of nowhere in the, you know, in the woods. You know, in the woods, they would just go to their bunker that they had the whole time. but that's just me. No, I wish I had a family who had one. That would be cool. One thing I would encourage, too, there is on this website they have on the corner, you'll see that they have this online family emergency planning tool. And what it does is you click on this and it opens up this website that takes you through gets some information about you and basically helps you plan your family plan, how to go from there. And then, you know, from there you can print out the cards. Again, you know, it's something that most of the stuff that they would probably – that could happen is extreme. You know, we hope we never come to that moment when some of these things that would get that involved would need to happen. But you don't get to pick when that is, and that's the realism part that you have to be smart about. Now, don't go crazy and start packing guns or anything, but you just never know. You know, if terrorist attacks, 9/11, we didn't. You know, those guys didn't who lived in that city did not wake up one day going, today this is going to happen. It was a complete shock, and that's the kicker. It's just having the preparedness and being prepared for that, you can sleep better at night.
Yeah. One of the things, too, they list on here, which I think is something I didn't think about, is you can actually subscribe to alert services.
Yes.
And this is something that it says many communities now have systems that will send instant text alerts or emails to let you know about bad weather, road closings, local emergencies, etc. And some of those might not be practical, like email, things like that, but you never know. I mean, you never, if it's just something that's, you know, like road closures or power outages, it's something that they'll let you know about it. And this, everyone has a local, at least in the United States, has a local Office of Emergency Management. And this is something that I didn't really realize, but they actually have a website where you can check out and you can get more information about how to subscribe to these services. You know, just in case maybe you're on a camping trip or something and you're not by, you know, anything. I mean, I don't have a TV, so I'm not really, I mean, I read the news online, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things where if I didn't see it on a web page, I wouldn't know it happened, you know what I mean? So
that's right.
So having one of these types of services would probably be pretty important.
Well, and even a lot of the stuff, too, you get that it's funny because you get older and you start realizing a lot of the emergency stuff that is in place right now, especially on your local areas, you know, is based off of a lot of the things that were coming out of the 1950s and the, you know, civil defense type things. And you have bomb shelters in the older buildings. You have the sirens that they use for your tornado warnings, that type of thing. Like in Detroit, we had tornado warnings also, you know, through the summer, which was amusing. And, you know, that's the same siren system that they used for air raids. Well, let's say that, you know, who's to say what the siren is referring to? Like, you know, maybe your TV's out, power's gone. Having those emergency, you know, messages might be the one thing that actually clues you into why is there a siren going off? What's happening out there? But you know, and of course, you don't want to go too crazy with the messaging. I know me and Sean, like, I'm always, like, waiting. Me and Sean text each other every once in a while. Like, I'm just waiting for that. LOL, real incoming warhead. Ah, ha, 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 you know. Like, see you in the bunker. Ha, 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 you know. Like, next time the show will be in the real wasteland. But, you know, we'll now you have to really do that. Now if it ever comes down to it, you really have to text that. So if our listeners out there get that text, oh yeah!
see, we're preparing you guys so that at the end of the world, the only people left will be Through the Aftermath listeners.
That's right, and you will know how to find our show at that moment. Still, not only are you prepared and still alive, you can still listen.
Yes.
Only everything we talk about will be real life, and none of it will be games.
And we won't be laughing as much, probably.
Yeah, we won't be laughing as much. We regret to inform you, Sean got eaten. He won't be with us today, but we did manage to get Farron Brigo here. No. But, you know, and we had a little humor at the end because, you know, it's kind of a, you know, it's some of this stuff kind of borders on a little bit. It can be creepy at times, yeah. But again, it's truth be told, a lot of these are extreme, you know, but, you know, even small things, you know, weather, power outages, those happen all the time. Mm-hmm. And they can get pretty uncomfortable. And who knows, maybe this 72-hour kit and this plan that you would have might make things a whole lot more interesting. I know that you know, third grade, we had a tornado warning that had us in our basement for over 6 hours in our school. And I often wonder, you know, I remember being there thinking, what are my parents doing right now? You know, and I have no doubt in their mind, they were probably wondering the same thing. Of course, they were probably like, we wish they were in that basement because it's an actual air raid shelter. Whereas ours was like, you know, the concrete bunker with sticks on it. But, you know, it would make having kids, and you were probably the same way, you know. It, when you have kids and you know they're taken care of and you know you have these contingency plans in place, you're going to sleep a lot better at night. And that's important.
Yeah, because when you have kids and you have a family like that, it's the absolute first thing you're going to think of. You know, you probably won't even think about your own food or water or, you know, your own well-being. You're going to be thinking about your kids, especially if they're away somewhere at like a school or something like that. I mean, that's going to be your number one priority. So
that's exactly right. Okay. And that's the beauty of it. You know, going momentarily going back to the humor. See, on our show, you listen to How to Take Care of Your Family and also during the zombie apocalypse, where the McDonald's is. So keep that McDonald's on your map at all times, or the Costco.
You know, this is a pretty serious and somber episode, but, you know, we mix it up with a little bit of humor. But, you know, we just want you guys to be prepared and kind of think twice and have that knowledge in your head about, you know, anything could happen, and it's better to be safe than sorry. That's essentially what we're trying to say.
And have fun with it. You know, don't, you know, have your kids be involved. Like, get them, you know, to where they're thinking ahead like that. Because, you know, even you don't have to make it spooky. You don't have to, like, you could just tell them, hey, we prepare for things. You know, sometimes stuff happens. And what it does is, you know, whether you know it or not, you're, by getting your child involved, you're teaching them psychologically. You've already conditioned them to know that sometimes things happen that we don't plan. And you never know where down the line that could come into play, even if it's something, you know, simple. You know, it could be a power outage and they, oh, well, mom taught me this, you know, 72-hour kit, here we go. You never know when it can come into play. And so, you know, make it a, you know, have a family night, have fun with this stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So if you want to learn more information about this stuff, check out ready.gov and also FEMA.gov. That's FEMA.gov. And like I said, you know, we realize that not everyone listening lives in the United States. So your country that you live in probably has something similar, like a government program. But even if you don't, you know, this information is still really helpful, no matter where you live. So we definitely encourage you to check that out. And if you want to email us, you can email ttaftermath@gmail.com. You can also check out our website where the show notes will be. And that's at throughtheaftermath.blogspot.com. And we also have Twitter and Facebook you can check out. We have some information on there and some like-minded listeners, Through the Aftermath listeners. But I guess that's about it. So was there anything else you wanted to cover before we shut the lights out?
No, before the power goes out. Yeah, I think that's just about it for me as well.
Well, cool. Well, so everyone out there, be safe, be prepared, don't be paranoid, and we will we'll talk to you next time. So until then, this is Sean,
and this is Jonathan saying, stay alive out there, and don't forget the toilet paper.